welcome to Age of Minority, a podcast for youth about the gospel. I'm your host, Jaquel, here with my co-host, pastor, and dad, Sean.
Girl!
Hey, Dad!
What's going on?
You know what? So much, but what's going on with you?
That music is kicking.
I know.
I just gotta say, I got the levels up a bit more this week, so...
Yeah, it was a little quiet last
hopefully
week.
People could really hear that kicking. Oh,
it's some
man.
groovy tunes
it's
right
almost,
there.
It's almost like I want to change the intro music every few weeks or something.
I know.
Maybe like when we get bored of this one, we'll switch to a new one.
Yeah, maybe. Like, hey, man. Like we did with the last music.
Well, yeah, but that was for like, what, a year and a half, 2 years? Well, no.
No, more than two
it
years.
It was 112, 110 episodes.
Yeah.
Man, so what is this? Like episode 113, 114?
Yeah, something like that. I think it's 113.
Yeah, weird. Man, we're kicking out those episodes.
We are.
So yeah, things are good with me. It's a beautiful day here in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
It is very nice.
The sun is shining. The birds are singing. I don't know about the birds. The crows are out there.
Yeah.
I don't see
we
many
get a lot
other
of crows
birds.
Around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, out there
kind of
and in
amusingly.
Here. Oh, yeah. Because,
yeah.
You know, because our last name is
it
Crow.
Is.
Yeah,
it is,
it's funny
correct.
How that works. Yeah. Yep. So things are going good. Yeah. What's going on with you? How's your drink over there? You having a little drink?
Yeah.
How's
I
that
am.
Drink?
This is actually one of my favorite drinks.
Oh yes. What's that called?
It's called Lemon Aid.
Oh, Lemon Aid.
A-I-D. Let's be clear.
What's
here.
In that drink there?
Lemon, ginger, cayenne pepper, and water.
I don't
and
know.
That's it.
I don't know how I feel about the Lemon Aid. It's I almost find it too spicy.
No, I
and
like
I
it.
And I like spicy. It's like weird when you're drinking a drink and you're like, wow, that's a spicy meatball. It's
right.
Crazy.
Except this is not a meatball because we are eating no meat.
No. I think this needs to be discussed.
Yes.
Because somebody was throwing some shade on me about our last episode. One of our listeners was talking about how, you know, well, I don't know what Sean thought about healthy
that's
habits.
True.
I don't know. Like, do people think I'm like the most unhealthy person on the planet?
I mean, I feel like your persona and what you actually talk about on the podcast may imply that.
And I have like a constant diet of bacon and steak. Like
yeah.
People, I do eat vegetables.
He does.
I do eat. I'm not
I
like
can
the,
even verify
I'm
that.
I'm not the most unhealthy eater on the planet. You know, sure, we could all eat a little bit more healthy. But hey, I'm doing juice cleanse.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are both doing a juice cleanse.
3 days with nothing but juice. We're on day three here. I don't feel hungry, people.
That's
I haven't
really
felt
impressive.
Hungry the whole time.
I did.
I've wanted to eat. But I haven't felt hungry. It's just like what I've realized is that eating is so woven into the fabric of our lives
mm-hmm.
that everything we do has to do with eating or drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And I haven't drank any coffee in since what? Thursday.
Yeah.
I cut down the coffee early. And so, or no, Thursday.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, get up from a nap and on Sunday, you know, because everybody naps on Sunday. And
everybody
if you,
does.
And if you don't, what's the matter with you? You psychopath. You should be having a nap on
that
Sundays.
That was very harsh.
Hey, I love my Sunday naps. Okay.
Yes,
you get up
obviously.
From a nap and it's like, hey, honey, you want to have coffee? And it's like, nope.
Hey, honey, want to have some green juice?
Yeah.
Mm.
It just doesn't work quite the same. Hey, let's.
Nutritious.
Or you and your fella.
Yes.
It's like, hey, let's go out for dinner. Never mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what do you do?
It was, yeah, it's sad.
So much of what we. You think so much of your relationship with Joseph is based on food.
Exactly. I mean,
you,
we would have no relationship if we didn't eat.
You have a food problem, Jaquel.
Yep.
I
well,
don't know.
Between the two of us, I was the one who actually broke the fast. I had some.
Oh,
some
you're
going
to talk
no,
about
I was just going to say. I was
whoa.
Just going to say I had a health issue.
Oh, Jaquel is
no,
bearing her
I'm
soul
just,
before
I'm
you.
I'm not getting super specific.
Oh,
but,
oh you should. Jaquel, well, there were five large men in your bedroom last
okay,
night. Does
so,
Joe even know about the five large men that were in your bedroom?
So I passed out. But, like, I don't think it was just because of the juice cleanse.
Oh, it was all because of the evil juice cleanse.
I had a really hot bath and then got out of the bath and then I passed out. Anyways, it's all right, guys. I'm fine.
She's fine.
But I am eating a little bit of food now.
I don't know about Jaquel's mom and I, but she's fine.
Yeah, I'm great.
We were mildly traumatized.
Yeah,
but,
I had to call 911. Mom said that's the first time that she called 911 at work, like, 25 years ago
really?
When there was a car on fire outside
huh.
of the office.
Yeah, you would think
but
that's a reason.
Besides that, like at home or anything, she's never called 911.
Although she was not the one who called 911.
Right.
I was.
Have you ever called 911 before?
I don't recall. Maybe I have, but I don't remember.
Well, it was an exciting experience for us all.
It was quite a nightmare. And
oh, yeah.
The worst part of it all was that when the EMTs left, they closed our front door, and our front door sometimes pops back open. It did. And Mr. Baby almost got away.
I know. Mr. Baby is an indoor cat, for those who don't know. And yeah, he doesn't go outside.
I was like, forget about my daughter's health. My little kitty cat almost ran away.
Forget about the fact that my daughter passed out.
I wasn't thinking that. But I was. Whoa. It was quite a night.
Like, I know.
Our house was just craziness last night.
Passing out is a very weird experience. I don't recommend it.
Well, yeah. I also do not recommend it.
But the Lord was very gracious, and yes. There were lots of hard things in our bathroom that I could have hit my head on,
right?
And it's kind of crazy that, because I like kind of collapsed like right in the middle of everything.
It was craziness.
Yeah, brought down the shower curtain. It was
bringing down.
I don't
the
remember
house.
That at all.
She brought down the house last night.
Anyway, so we're on the last day of the juice cleanse. I'm still finishing it, but as I mentioned, I'm also eating a little bit of food as well.
Yes, let's just talk about this. I went downstairs and made you some food.
I know.
I toasted up some toast some of Donna's fresh bread.
I know.
And cooked some eggs. And I said to Mom, toast and eggs have never looked better in my life. Yeah. But again, it wasn't because I was hungry. It was just because it looked like it tasted good. Like, this is the strange thing. I don't think I would generally recommend juice cleanses to people. I
am now not the poster child for them.
After doing some of the research and stuff like that, I think that in our situation, I think it's entirely good.
Yeah.
And the fact is it doesn't hurt to eat healthy, which is essentially what we're doing, because we're not talking about just like drinking orange juice or buying a bottle of juice. This is from a place, it's like a juice, what would you call the type of store?
It's a juicery. I don't know if that's
it's, an it's all
thing.
Natural juice, right? Yeah. And so like when we drink like the morning juice, the green juice, there's like kale and apple and that's
it's
all that's
exactly.
in there. It's just the fresh juice from the fruit. So I mean, we're getting fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
And we're not overworking our digestive system for 3 days. And so
they're like making sure we get technically like enough calories that we need.
Yeah. So like what we're saying is that don't go to your supermarket and buy 6 bottles of Fruitopia and drink nothing but that for 3 days.
Then you also might pass out.
Either consult a doctor or do your research and go to one of these juiceries. I think that works. Juicery, okay. Winery, juicery. Yeah. Sure, that works. But anyway, I just think that people needed to know that, I do like to be healthy.
Yeah.
I do exercise
this
every now and then.
This is living proof right here.
Yeah, exactly. But that made me think we should talk about denominationalism.
My goodness. That was awful. That was just horrendous.
What?
But yeah, we should talk about denominations.
What was horrendous?
That transition.
There was no transition. That's what was so funny.
Juice made you think about, we could talk about denominationalism.
That's what's so funny. But, there is some division among people when it comes to juice cleanses.
All right.
Some people think you should do juice cleanses. Some don't.
Okay.
And it's like some people think you should do certain kind of juice cleanses and others think you should do the other kind. So, there's some division when it comes to juicing.
But it's okay, because diversity among opinions can be a blessing, Dad.
We should have talked about this before, because there is a lot of division when it comes to food
and
proper diet practices. That would have been a sweet transition. Why weren't we thinking about that?
I don't know.
Anyway, we're talking about
some, you lose
we're
some.
Talking about denominations.
Jekyll,
what is a denomination?
Well, according to the dictionary.
Dictionary.com?
Our dear friend. Yes, dictionary.com.
Okay.
It defines it as a name or designation, especially one for a class of things.
Oh, what particular class of things?
A religious group.
Oh.
Usually including many local churches, often larger than a sect.
Okay, so that's a good definition, but let's step it up a notch.
Let's
go to the
notch.
Dictionary of Christianity in America, and they say of denominationalism that a denomination is an association or fellowship of congregations within a religion that have the same beliefs or creeds. Dun dun. Creeds, plural.
Creed.
You don't know, you can have more than one creed. Engage in similar practices and cooperate with each other to develop and maintain shared Enterprises.
That's fancy.
That's a definition by Mr. Mr. Daniel Reed. Yes. Sorry, Daniel, not yes. Danielle.
Wow, don't make a man's name a girl's name.
So anyway, denominations. What do you think about denominations?
Oh my goodness. This episode is already off the rails.
Oh, every episode is off the rails for you and me, Jaquel. Come
does,
on.
It does, but you get off very quickly.
Things got crazy in this house last night, and we're still dealing with it. So we're reeling from the shock. So anyway, denominations. We're talking about a all kinds of different groups of different religious groups.
Yes.
So you've got the Baptists, yes. And you got the Presbyterians, uh-huh. And you got the Pentecostals, and yep. You got the Methodists, and you got the Lutherans, and you got the
Anglicans.
You got the Anglicans, and you got the Anabaptists, and you've got the United Church of Canada. No, which, forget about that. You've got the they are a denomination, just yeah. Not a Christian denomination. What else do we got here?
Wesleyans.
Oh, you got the Wesleyans. You got the and then you got the Baptists. You got the Free Will Baptists, and you got the Reformed Baptists, and then you got the Four Point Baptists, and then you oh
within
my goodness
Christianity,
all the
there are
and then the Presbyterians, you got the PCAs, you got the ARPs, you got the OPCs,
but you know what?
There's
a
ton
lot.
Of denominations,
there's a lot of denominations
on and on and on. We should have had a list. That would have been really funny, but we're just naming off the top of our head.
Oh,
there's
funny enough.
There's a lot of religious Jaquel, come on. You're being so mean to me. I held you in my arms last night as you passed to the floor.
You should have sympathy on me, because who knows if my brain is fully functioning right now.
That's a great point.
Exactly. So anything that I say, I cannot be held accountable.
Are you
going to
faint on me right now?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But if I say anything crazy, it's not my fault.
I could come around the table and sit next to you while we record.
Really okay. I'm just impressed Mom is actually not in this room while we record.
I know. That's pretty true. Anyway, okay. So denomination, this is what we have. We have these groups who all hold to certain religious beliefs, and we're talking about denominations within Christianity.
Yes.
So Jehovah's Witnesses, not talking about them. They're not Christians. Mormons, not Christians. Like we said, the United Church here in Canada, not Christians. They have turned their back on Christianity altogether. So we're talking about Christian denominations. These are groups within Christianity who all hold to a specific set of religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we want to talk about denominations. Before we even get into them, we'll take the next episode and start actually talking about the denominations
different
themselves.
Denominations,
we'll talk about the differences between the denominations. But we thought right now what we would do is start by actually talking about denominationalism as it is. Like, we have denominations today.
Yeah.
Why?
And is that good?
Is it a good thing? Are there benefits to it? Are there downsides to it?
Should we
try to get rid of denominations?
Yeah.
Like, I think about the what is it called? The Disciples of Christ or the Christian Church. Like, they kind of said, we're not going to have any creed but the Bible. We're going to go back to the way it was. And now they're just another denomination. I mean, they always were just another denomination. So anyway, we're going to talk about this and we'll see where it goes. There's a lot that could be said about this. To me, it's a fascinating subject, and it's one I think either some young people are confused about or they haven't really thought about it.
Yeah, I actually think a fair amount of young people have thought about it, especially high schoolers, as they're starting to get to the point where they're considering moving out or going to college and they're going to have to find their own church. I think that's a point that a lot of young people start thinking, like, hey, why do I go to a Baptist church or a Presbyterian church? Or they have friends that go to churches of other denominations, and it's like, wait, well, what's the difference? If we're both Christians, what divides us here?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is you should know why you are a specific denomination.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody recently. They said, well, I've been going to the Salvation Army Church, but there's another denomination. But now, I want to go back to my Baptist roots. And it's like, okay, do you understand what it means to be a Baptist?
Right.
And if so, why were you not a Baptist for the last several years? Mm-hmm. And not to say there's not other reasons. Like, there's certain times, I heard from somebody else recently, or I saw tweets from somebody who was a Reformed Baptist, but there was no Reformed Baptist church in their town. So, I mean, there are times where you can't, you know, or say maybe the closest Orthodox church is a Presbyterian church. And I know I'm getting off the rails here, Jaquel, but this is a subject that there's lots to be said about. And let's just look at it in this way. Basically, when we're talking about denominations, we're saying there's division.
Yes.
Right? We don't just have one Christian church.
Right.
And ultimately, I think I would say division is unfortunate.
Yeah.
This is not ideal. This is not ideal.
No.
Right? We would say that denominations, it's not ideal that we have denominations.
No. There will be no denominations in heaven.
No. there won't, like, no. Welcome in, Sean, here's the Reformed Baptist section.
Yep.
And it's like, wow, really, that's not gonna be like that?
No. Okay. No, because the opposite of division is unity, and yeah. Jesus prayed for unity,
right? Yeah, we see that in John 17 in the high priestly prayer for sure. And also the early church began with unity, and yeah. And we see this in Acts chapter 2 42 through 47, and we're not going to quote all of these because again we've got tons of passages. This is from a lesson I taught on denomination, so yes. we have tons of resources here, and we'll leave you to look up these passages. But yeah, Jesus prayed for unity, and the early church began with unity, and as well the early church carried on in its early days without any denominational divisions.
Right. There were no denominations in the early church.
We didn't see that. We don't see that in all of the New Testament, right? And so there were just those who were Christians, mm-hmm. those who associated with Christ. And furthermore, I mean, Paul teaches the church about the unity that they have through Christ. So right. We have this unity. It's an inherent unity. It's a unity that God has given us because we're all united to the same person.
Right. And so when we're talking about the church, like, we're talking about division among local churches, but there is a sense that all Christians have a unity in that we are the church universal, like yeah. the church. So that comes from our identity in Christ.
Yeah, and that's why we're talking about Christian denominations. Because essentially when we talk about denominations, we're talking about the universal church. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all of us who are part of the universal church. And once a person becomes a member of the universal church, they are then to become a member of a church.
Right.
And that's where division comes along.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was division in local churches from early on. I mean, we're getting near the end of our study of 1 Corinthians mm-hmm. on Wednesday nights. And I mean, in the Corinthian church, there was a ton of division over doctrinal issues.
Right. And that's why, like, I think it's interesting that even though there weren't denominations in the early right. church, we have principles that can help us understand that because there was still division.
Yeah. And I mean, division is, unfortunately, division is necessary because, and the reason that division is necessary is doctrine.
Yeah.
Like there's difference over doctrine. And I mean, what some young people might not realize is that the denominational situation that we have today, the reason that we have so many denominations actually traces its way back to the 16th century. Mm-hmm. It traces its way back to the Protestant Reformation. This is why we have so many denominations, because the Protestant reformers, they determined that the doctrine that was being promoted within the church was not biblical doctrine.
Right.
And there were issues of primary importance that had to be defended. And those primary issues were the solas, mm-hmm. right? And we've done an episode on this.
We'll link it below, the Reformation 500 episode where we talk all about the Reformation.
Yeah, but I mean, these were not just second tier doctrines. These were major issues. You've got, you know, that you're saved by grace alone, that you're saved by faith alone, that you're saved in Christ alone, that we believe in the scripture alone, and that we live for the glory alone. These are the five solas. And these issues are issues which we must divide over.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, we're talking about the authority of scripture and the exclusivity of Christ as the only way to salvation, that we're saved by grace through faith, that not in works, and that the scripture is our final authority. So if those are the issues we're talking about, then to not divide over the authority of scripture is to elevate the will of man over the will of God.
Right.
So in fact, we have to divide. Like
yeah.
denominations were inevitable. In right. some respects. Now, I mean, I suppose we could have gone a different way, but I like what Mark Dever says. It's just a short little quote, but it just gets right to the point. He says, correct division should be preferred over corrupt unity. Mm. Oh, I don't know, Jaquel. Is denominations the way of correct division? I don't know.
Yeah. But I know a lot of people, like, hate the idea of division, like, in denominations, because they just want everybody to get along, like all Christians to get along. And it's just one of those things that it's like, yes, it would be great if all Christians, you know, believe the same things.
Yeah.
But as we have seen throughout church history, as we've seen with the Protestant Reformation, as we've seen in the years since, because of doctrine, if you yeah. care about that, it is just necessary right now. And, you know, that's pretty serious that you say to not divide over the authority of scripture is to elevate the will of man over the will of God.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's such a tough subject. Like, it really is. Like, when you look at it, I mean, whenever I have conversations like this with people, and I've talked about this quite a bit, especially just in our local context and whatnot, it's like, would it be great if there wasn't denominations? Well, sure, it would be great, but there are denominations right now. We can't go back. Like, it's funny, you know, I was talking to Steve this week about this, and it was like, you know, it would be nice if we could go back. And his comment was, you know, and reform things. Mm-hmm. And his comment was like, well, they did it at the Protestant Reformation. And yeah, it's like, well, yeah, but they went one direction, right? Like they broke off from the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
And now we have all of these denominations. And now it's like I said to you, the illustration is like they scrambled the egg. Now yeah, you can't unscramble the egg. We can't reverse it back to one church. We just can't go there. So we have to live within a church culture. We have to live within a universal church in which there's denominations.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important at this point to see that it's unfortunate that we have division, but then we need to realize that diversity, on the other hand, is a blessing.
Definitely.
So within the universal church, we were intended to have diversity. And so while these fundamentals provide a basis for Christian fellowship, there's room for diversity that allows for denominations.
Sure.
So some examples, I would say, where diversity is permitted when it comes to our views of the sacraments.
Yeah.
We have a lot of different views of the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism within Orthodox Christianity. We have a lot of different views, well, a few in particular, about church government.
Yeah.
There's worship style,
yeah,
right? Like you go to two different churches and you think you're at two different kind of functions. And then of course there's Sabbath observance,
and
I mean there's several more, and we'll get into some of them when we talk about denominations.
Yeah.
But diversity is a blessing. And we see this in, again, like Jaquel and I at our church, we've been going through 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights. And we see in 1 Corinthians, particular chapter 12, that God's ordained for there to be diversity in the church.
Yeah, and I love that passage because in that passage, Paul is talking about a body. And he's talking about how it's like the eye can't just say to the ear, hey, I don't really need you. every part of the body is beautifully necessary. And because they're different, they have different strengths that they can bring and contribute.
Yeah, and I mean, we're well aware that passage is talking within a local church.
Sure.
But I think that does apply to the universal church as well, that there is to be diversity within the universal church. And again, like I think I can safely say that, again, it would be the more we can agree on, the better.
Yeah.
I forget who said this quote. It was either B.H. Carroll or J.C. Ryle, I think. And it was to do with the creeds and how the bigger of a creed, the more that a church can agree on, the stronger it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the more that we could agree on as Christians would be better. But in light of diversity within Christianity, I would say that the solution is not to despair or despise denominations. Like, this mm-hmm. is the situation that we have.
Right.
So let's try to agree on as much as we can agree on.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's wrong to seek unity.
No, let's have as much unity. Let's agree on as much as we possibly can. But also, let's display love and charity while we're seeking that unity and when we're dealing with different opinions on secondary matters.
Yeah, and also a shout out to another episode. As we said, we've done so many episodes. Yeah. We did an episode on cooperation with other Christians, and we talked about, you know, cooperating with people of different denominations. And so you can go listen to that if you want to hear us talk more about that.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately, I mean, even in spite of that episode, ultimately, we want to cooperate as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And even, like, I have this, what do I call it, the trichotomy of cooperation, or what did I call it?
The triad, or there's like there's a three things.
I'm talking about that thing. Like I had three different levels of cooperation,
right,
that I had. But I mean, even in spite of those three different levels and whatnot, I think ultimately when it comes to this, we should be seeking as much unity as we possibly can within this, you know, landscape of denominations in which we live. Mm-hmm. Cooperate as much as you can. So anyway. Now let's get to one other thing, that denominationalism does have its benefits.
Right.
There are benefits to denominations. And the first one I would mention is that it teaches the church that doctrine matters. Like, doctrine matters so much that we're willing to have more than one denomination.
Right.
In other words, when it comes to the issue of baptism, let's just bring this up. When it comes to the issue of baptism, to me, that is a second tier doctrine. So in other words, my Presbyterian brothers and sisters in Christ,
yeah,
not my cousins. I hate when people refer to other denominations as cousins, yeah. because it's a slam.
Right.
And so our brothers and sisters in Christ disagree with us on baptism. And that to me is important enough to divide over. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you guys have your Presbyterian denomination. We'll have our Baptist denomination. We'll disagree over baptism, but we love you and we want to cooperate with you as much as is humanly possible. But the point, this brings me back to the point, is it teaches the church that doctrine matters.
Right.
And
I think a lot of times that people will cave on these things is because they are elevating a sort of ideal above the reality of doctrine.
Yeah.
Like, in a sense, there's a compromise. And again, as much as you, like, don't want to divide, if you don't have to, doctrine is something, like, that's a hill worth dying on. Like, that's something worth dividing over.
Yeah, I think the other thing that we need to realize is that though we do have diversity on these second and third tier issues, we have unity on the fundamentals.
Right.
Like, as we mentioned earlier, there is a stage where we say, no, you are not Christian anymore because yeah. you've turned your back on Orthodox doctrine. You've rejected Christ as divine and as human, or you've rejected the Trinity, yeah. obviously, if you don't believe in the Trinity, and other things that are first tier doctrines. So it tells the world that even though there's diversity on second matters, we still have unity on the fundamentals. We are still mm-hmm. all Christians.
Yeah.
Like, how does the world think that there's not going to be some kind of diversity and division? This is just the nature of being human beings.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, the other thing I'd say is it helps us to some degree assess a church's doctrinal convictions, right? So you talked about people looking for a church.
Totally. Like, and that's something, like, we go on vacation and stuff.
Yeah.
And where do we look? We don't look for an Anglican church.
Like, we Google Reformed Baptist.
Exactly.
But here's my thing. Let's talk about this for a minute, Jaquel.
It makes me nervous when
this is one of those things that drives me crazy. What in heaven's name is a community church? What is that?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get it. You want to be for the community, or you know, you're there to minister to the community. But these churches, like, we've got
the non-denomination,
or these churches, like, we've got several in our areas, and I'm not going to name any particular, but they come up with this name. It's like I'm trying to think of a ridiculous one. It's like the Blue Sky Church, or
they don't even call it a church. They call it just, like,
room. Yeah, the room. There's one.
Yeah, the gathering.
I've got so many popping in my head, but I don't want to slam any particular groups. But this, like, so you know my church naming philosophy, don't you?
I do. Yes.
Okay. So
location.
So yeah, city or location, denomination, church. There you go. So I mean. Okay, I came to a church that already had a name.
What? You didn't choose a church's name?
Would I prefer to be named Halifax Reformed Baptist Church? Yeah, probably. But hey, you know, this is what but we still have Baptist in our name.
Yeah.
And that still tells people something. Now, somebody might argue and say, well, most people, if you're visiting a church, they don't know about those things. Well, maybe you should know about those things. I mean, this tells you something. Now, we need to realize amongst Baptists, more so than amongst Presbyterians, but amongst Baptists, there is still, I say it helps us to some degree assess a mm-hmm. church's doctrinal convictions. I mean, when it comes to having Baptist on your name, you could be Reformed Baptist, Calvinistic, or you could be Free Will Baptist. You could be a solid Orthodox Baptist church. You could be a totally liberal, off the lines, not Christian mm-hmm. Baptist church. So, but it does help us to some degree.
Yeah.
In other words, like Jaquel said, if we're on vacation, we're going to look for a church. We're not going to go look for a Methodist church. And it's not that we got anything against Methodists. It's just we want to go to, we want to fellowship together with other brothers and sisters who believe as we do.
Yeah.
And so anyway.
And then, I mean, it also, if we're talking about denominations, it enables a group of churches to pool their resources and accomplish things they otherwise could not. So you think about, like, some of the great missions movements in the 20th century, and that, you know, missionaries that got sent out by specific denominations. And again, we've talked about you know, missions should be an effort of the local church.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. if a local church doesn't have all the resources, if they're a part of a denomination yeah. that can enable them to have the resources that they can still be sending churches, you know, yeah. that's a blessing.
And that is, I mean, we're part of a denomination. We're part of the Southern Baptist denomination in Canada. And that is one thing I love about the Southern Baptists is that their missions focus and their missions organization within the denomination is killer. So I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's right. It enables us to do things that we couldn't do on our own. It, you know, it makes resources available. And also between churches, you know, not even just on a denominational level, but if you're in the same denomination in a town, you can encourage one another in that sense and whatnot.
Cooperation and,
so, yeah. Okay, so one last thing. We've talked about several things here. One last thing. Let's deal with some denominational myths.
Yes. This is okay? good, and this is pretty important, I think.
Yeah, I agree. First of all, the first denominational myth is that there is one perfect denomination and all others are apostate.
Yes, this now, is bad.
I mean, this is one I really do. I get frustrated about this one too, because I think everyone thinks that they're the perfect denomination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that, you know what I love to say? I first heard it from Tom Askell. I can never say it the right way, but it's like, yeah. I always think I'm right, but I don't think I'm always right.
Right.
And so the point is that obviously you should be part of a denomination that you believe is as close to scripture as possible.
Yes.
But you better well recognize that you're not always right.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, what I'm curious to find out when we get to heaven is what was I wrong on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like you and I know in the world that we live in, it's this issue between Reformed Baptists and Presbyterians. We are mm-hmm. so close.
Yeah.
But there's just that one. I mean, I think probably the one primary issue is the issue of covenant.
Yeah.
Where we disagree, that then has huge implications on where things go from there.
Right. But I think the mindset that you have about your denomination is key, because as much as, you know, we can say like, yeah, we are Reformed Baptists because we believe that that is the most biblical denomination. But that we've already said, we love our Presbyterian brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
Like, we don't think all other denominations are apostate, and that should lead us to humility when we talk about other denominations, when we think about other denominations, and when we interact with Christians of other denominations.
Yeah, and when we pursue cooperation.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there is no infallible denomination. Nobody has a corner on the truth.
Exactly.
I mean, this was one of the issues of the Protestant Reformation.
Yeah.
That the Word of God should be in the hands of the people,
mm-hmm.
and we should be seeking truth. So it's up to you to determine what you believe is the Word of God teaches.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's no one perfect denomination or one infallible denomination with a corner on the truth. And we need to guard ourselves from that. But again, we should seek to be part of a denomination that we believe stance on the truth as best as we can see it.
Yeah, and it should drive us to be more devoted to scripture mm-hmm. and, you know, seeking to understand for ourselves what the Bible says, so that we're not blindly loyal to a denomination without investigating the truth for ourselves.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that is an issue. And it's something that I've even struggled with too. Like, I do take pride in being a Baptist.
Yeah.
But what I need to realize, what we all need to realize, is that the second that the Baptist denomination as a whole ceases to stand on the Word of God, or if another denomination comes along that holds closer to scripture and what I believe it teaches, then that's the denomination I need to be of. In other words, we're a Christian first,
mm-hmm.
right? It's important that we realize we're a Christian first, and our denomination comes second, which leads to the next thing I think that we need to, and we've alluded to this, I maybe even stated outright, but we need to realize that because a church belongs to a certain denomination, it's not necessarily good or bad.
Yeah.
So we have the First Baptist Church downtown, and I don't want anybody ever going anywhere near that church. Mm-hmm. I have no problem saying that church has left. They've left Orthodox Christianity. Mm-hmm. They've gone completely liberal. They've turned their back on the Word of God and the exclusivity of Christ in salvation. And so just because a church is Baptist, just because a church says Presbyterian, just because a church has whatever name on that, that doesn't guarantee you need to ask them what their confession, what their creed is. You mm-hmm. need to talk to their leaders. You need to find out for certain that they do stand on the Word of God.
Yeah, and that is true also for denominations that you may be a little bit more skeptical of or wary of. They're still are probably really solid churches in them. And there are still believers and pastors that just because of the denomination, again, while you can determine things from that label, there are good churches and bad churches in every Christian denomination.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that you need to realize is that there's differences of opinion on when a church should leave a denomination.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a Baptist denomination here in Eastern Canada. We refer to it as the convention. And when it comes to convention Baptists around here, some are bad. Most are bad, I think I would say, but some are good. Mm-hmm. I know good brothers that pastor the churches within this, and they're trying to bring reform from within. So I mean, just keep in mind, because a church belongs to a certain denomination, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a good or bad church. Mm-hmm. It does tell you something about them, though. Now, the last thing I would say, and this is probably the key thing, and that's that the presence of denominations, it doesn't mean that Christians disagree on far more than they agree on.
Yeah, and that's what we've kind of talked about already. I think some people see all the denominations like non-Christians and are like, oh, those Christians. Like,
they can't agree on anything.
But because of our unity in Christ, we have agreed on the most fundamental things. And one day in heaven, we will worship all together, believing in what we now know is true.
Ultimately, I think what Jaquel and I want you to know is that it's unfortunate that we have division, but division is necessary because doctrine matters, that diversity is a blessing, and thus we need to just learn to honor God in the midst of this denominational landscape in such a way that recognizes the authority of God's word.
Exactly. And that now, as young people, is really the best possible time in your life to start thinking about these things.
Absolutely.
Because as you get older and you need to choose a church for yourself, or you need to evaluate a church based on the authority of Scripture and the exclusivity of Christ and salvation, that you're thinking about, you know, the denomination that I'm in, why denominations are important, and what denomination I should be a part of.
Yeah, or if you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I wonder why I'm Baptist, or I wonder why we're Pentecostals or Presbyterians, you should ask your folks,
ask
your pastor, or ask somebody in your church. If somebody said to me, you know, why are you a Baptist? I would love to talk about that. Or why are you always talking about being Reformed Baptist? What is that all about?
Yeah.
I would, you know, your parents should be happy to talk to you about that. You shouldn't just take for granted that, oh, you say, I'm a Baptist. Okay, what do you mean by that? Or,
right.
I'm a Pentecostal. Well, what do you mean by that? Why are you Pentecostal? So, and also you should consider studying the roots of your,
totally.
And we're going to talk about that, the roots of your denomination.
Exactly.
We'll just talk on that briefly. So anyway, but we're done for now. So where can people find us?
Well, they can go on the internet as always. They can go to our website, ageofminority.com, email us at Jaquel or Sean at ageofminority.com. Visit us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we're there. They can also, if they really want to help us out, they can go over to iTunes and leave us an honest 5-star rating and review. Do not lie just to make us feel good, but you can tell us honest things and flatter us.
Although,
and we will appreciate
all
that.
Those reviews are good. We don't have one bad review. People love us.
Well, that's because we don't ask for 1-star reviews. We ask for 5-star reviews.
We only want
5-star. If you don't like it, just keep it to yourself.
All right, Jaquel, until next week.
This has been Age of Minority.